We're going to travel today. All right, that means we got to move. So I want y'all to move with me. Fathers, you're going to get a Father's Day Home Depot gift card so your wife can put you to work. When we're done, y'all don't let me forget. It's your job, James. If I forget about the Home Depot cards, you say, hey, man, I have a chance to win something. Don't forget. But we're going to get to some important stuff first. Not that you guys aren't important, but I promise you, you're not as important as what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 16. And I do want to take some time today in light of all the Islamic discussion that's going on. The things that have been happening in recent history are nothing new. Everybody go like this. These people have been trying to annihilate and war against God's people for a long, long time. In fact, I assure you of this. We are going to talk about Ishmael and Hagar and Abraham and how that whole mess got started, and then how that mess was extended through a new wife that Abraham received after Sarah, who was named Keturah, and all their people went east. Kind of ironic, huh, that they all went east, and we have problems from the Middle East, right, all the time. And what I want to do is I want to hopefully change your mindset and your understanding about this particular group of people. Because the easy thing to do is hate. The easy thing to do is to act like your flesh wants to act in regard to all this. Let me say this. Though we are and we will be in a war with these people until the end, please understand that. We as believers have been given a different way of fighting. Now, I'm not calling you to be a pacifist. I'm not calling you to not defend yourselves and or your family or your property. Absolutely not. If you know me, I'm the complete opposite of that. What I am going to do is I'm going to show you today that the Islamic people, and I'll say this, they're very radical. It's their nature. In fact, God gave them this nature. So if you want to get upset about it and you want to blame them, stop for a second after today. Because God said this is the way that they are going to be. They are going to be a wild donkey. You ever seen a wild donkey? Nobody likes a wild donkey. Not only does He say that they're going to be a wild donkey, He teaches us that they are going to be at enmity, or they're going to be the enemies of everyone and everyone's enemy. That's a promise from God. So here's the thing. Don't think that it's your job to change the situation, because you're not going to change it. It's for a specific time and a specific purpose, because a sovereign God has ordained it to be. So as we look at this, I'm going to show you Islam and its biblical roots, and I'm going to clear up hopefully some things for you so that when you leave here, number one, you have a better understanding. Number two, if you're here and you're not a believer today, I pray that God would use this to show you your need for Jesus Christ. You say, well, how can looking at the people of Islam show us our need for Jesus Christ? Because here's the thing. Those people are being unleashed. Let me tell you this, those of you folks who don't understand this, World War III that you're waiting on is happening. It's going on. Just as Ezekiel proclaimed it's going to go on, it's beginning to go on. Understand this. Rosh and Tabul and all those Middle Eastern countries, along with Rosh, which is that kingdom to the north in biblical times that they didn't know to call Russia, but we do. They are going to come against God's people. First and foremost, the Jew. They're going to come against Israel. Understand that. Do you think that the Iranian wackos who have nukes, who threaten to nuke Israel all the time, do you think they didn't get their technology from Russia? Do you think for a second that every U.S. soldier who's been shot in the line of fire in Afghanistan, in Iraq, was not shot with some version of an AK-47 which the Russians made? Do you not understand that? There's already an alliance. And I want to show you about these people so that you can have a great understanding of these people. And here's the thing. No longer do you have to get upset about it. You can rest in peace and trust God about it, that one day they are going to meet the true King, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is going to completely, listen to me, completely annihilate that people group and wipe them from the planet. So understand this. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. It's not our job to take it upon ourselves. It's our job to trust the one who's taken us on. The one who has forgiven us, who has accepted us, who's engrafted us into His promises. So let's look at this. Exciting topic, huh? You want to skip it? Just sing Kumbaya and leave? No. Educate yourself. Be educated today. Learn something. Genesis chapter 16. I'm going to read the whole chapter. I know, take a deep breath. It's been a while since you read a whole chapter in the Bible. Today you're going to do that. Just playing. Here's the thing. We're going to read it. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, this is before they were given new names, had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian maidservant. We know this. We know that it was promised to Abraham. God made Abraham a promise, and He told Abraham, He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and your people will be like the sand on the seashore. Well, here we are. Abraham, at this point, is in his late 80s, and he doesn't have a child yet. And here's the thing. He's not going to get one until he's 100, really. But what he's going to do is him and his wife, Sarai, at this time, they're going to try to rush things a little bit. Pay attention to what happens. She had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. Hagar was a very big and unattractive woman. I know that's irrelevant to the story, but I'm going to make you laugh before we get serious. Because there's no way that Sarai would have sent Hagar if she was really good looking. Right? Laugh. Okay, that's your last laugh. The rest of the time, serious. Right? She found her ugliest maidservant. I guarantee you. Women haven't changed. Said, if we're going to get this thing done here, have a big one, and you guys go make a kid. Oh, now everybody's going to be sending emails. Lighten up, people. Okay, those of us who know the King, we can laugh. We can say, you know what? We can laugh about these things because our hope is not in the things that we see. Learn how to do that. Learn how to laugh and know that your God is in complete control, whether you want to realize it or not. Just laugh. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. I know, bad joke. You hate me for it. Okay, get over it. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Now, this is not what God wanted. Okay, let me just go ahead and tell you that. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. Dumb, dumb. Okay, guys, if this happens in your life, no. Okay? Because I'm sure Abram's excuse the rest of his life was, she told me to. Because she did. She was trying to rush things. Guys, understand, sometimes your wife tries to rush things with the Lord. You as a leader of your home, be patient and stand your ground. I'm serious. If God has told you something, don't let an outside influence, even your wife, influence your leadership. Bad things happen. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. And when she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, you are responsible for the wrong I'm suffering. Right? She brought the whole subject up to him. But you see how it goes, right? No different than today's time. It's your fault. I put my servant in your arms, right? And she admits her guilt but still wants to blame him. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Verse 6 says, your servant is in your hands. Abram said, do with her whatever you think best, right? As he's flipping the channels, watching ESPN, just whatever. That's his attitude. Do with her whatever you want to do. Because you know what? He was probably tired of listening to her. Because I promise, it's recorded here, but this wasn't the first time she said, it's all your fault. I just got that look from my wife. That means stop. Your servant is in your hands, Abram said. Do with her whatever you think best. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. So that was probably the best thing to do. You know, when you get somebody else in a fix, mistreat them and feel better about yourself. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert, and it was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. Why? Because that's what's right. Did you know God's always on the side of right? The angel added, I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count. Now let me help you out. When you read that, don't read it out. He's not talking about the Jewish people. That promise has already been made. He's talking about another group of people that came from Hagar and Abram, that extended to Ishmael, that extended to another line of people. Understand that. Those people became too numerous to count when Abraham, then after Sarah, Sarai became Sarah, she passed away, and he got with a lady named Keturah, and they had a whole nother lineage, and all those people are our Arab friends. Everybody understand? It makes sense now. Wow, that's in the Bible. It is in the Bible. Isn't that cool? The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now with child, and you will have a son, and you shall name him Ishmael. For the Lord has heard of your misery. You say, wait a second. Do you mean God was sympathetic to the people that would become Islamic radicals? Yes. God shows mercy on whom He chooses to show mercy and blessing upon. You don't get to decide. I know you as Americans with your sense of entitlement think you get to decide all that. Pay attention today. You didn't get to decide any of this. So call him Ishmael. The Lord has heard of your misery. He will be, underline this in your Bible, a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. That's what the Bible said. Here's the thing. You're not going to change a radical Muslim. People aren't going to like me for what I'm about to say. There's only one way to stop a radical Muslim. If you have any sense at all, you understand what that way is. People get all wrapped up in, well, if you respond, that's violence. Let me tell you something. You better learn the difference between good violence and bad violence. It's going to do you a lot of good. Okay? It's going to do you a lot of good. I'm going to show you in just a second. He said he'll live in hostility toward all his brothers. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy, it is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael. 24 years ahead of schedule. He messed up, pushed God. Just free advice. Let me ask you a question. Was it God's will? Was it God's will that Abram have a son? That he have descendants. Go like this. Was it? Let me ask you this. Was it God's perfect plan that Ishmael be born from Hagar outside of God's perfect plan? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So understand, there's God's perfect will and there's God's permissive will. God permitted, because He's sovereign, He permitted them to be disobedient. He permitted him to get 24 years ahead of schedule and have a child with someone he wasn't supposed to have a child from. So I go back to the thing I try to teach you all the time. God's will out of God's timing is not God's will. You may know God's will, but it may be 24 years ahead of schedule. Don't rush God. Okay? When He reveals His will to you, walk in His perfect will. Guess what? It wasn't God's will that Israel ever have a king. Did they have kings? Yeah, because He permitted it. It doesn't change His sovereignty. It doesn't change who He is. Understand, you can do things of your own will that God does not permit in His perfect will, but He allows those things to happen to teach you a lesson. Let me tell you something. Ishmael has been teaching the Jewish people a lesson for thousands of years. Why we shouldn't be disobedient to God, even though we know His will, we have to operate in His timing. So let's look at this. I want you to see some things from this one passage of Scripture. Number one, Islam has biblical roots. I know there's so many preachers trying to prove otherwise. That's idiotic. We just saw the birth of Islam. Understand that. We just saw it and you say, well, I think it happened with Muhammad and he received some things at Mecca. And yeah, I understand that. But did you know the birth of the Jew was long before there was ever a law, there was ever God-giving commands? How many of you understand that? The promise to the Jew was birthed to Abram when he was still Abram. And they didn't receive the commands and the Word of God until Moses. Understand that. So we see this, that Islam has biblical roots. Don't let someone tell you that they don't. I've heard good, well-meaning preachers say this. They say this because they like to forget what the Bible says. Well, the God that they're thinking of is not the same God that we serve. Let me tell you something. In His true origin and His true understanding, Jehovah to us in this picture and to the Jew is Allah to them. The only difference that they make, listen to me, now they have perverted it and perverted it and perverted it, but the only difference that we understand here from this is that what the Islamic people have done, they say this, they say the blessings of God have come through Ishmael and not Isaac. And let me tell you, watch this, you heard it first from me, the Baptist preacher who's covert. They're both right. They're both right. They are both blessed people from God. Did God not just tell Hagar? Did He not just tell Hagar, Hagar, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless your people? Islam has biblical roots. Ishmael was the son of Abraham. Understand that. He was the son of Abraham as Abraham and Sarai rushed God. Get that. Understand that. He was still a son of Abraham. A seed that was deemed righteous by God, Abraham's seed. Now, was it according to his will? Absolutely not. Ishmael, as we just saw, was the half-brother of Isaac. The two people, please understand, you can throw us in there too. The three people, are you listening? Watch this, gonna mess you up. All came from the same seed. Me as a Christian, I am now of the seed of Abraham. According to the promises of God, I have been engrafted into His promise. Don't you ever forget that. Because were it not for that engrafting, you could not receive anything from God. No forgiveness, no atonement, no sacrifice, because that was the Jewish system. He engrafted us in. I know what's going to happen. You're all going to get crazy now. What? You're saying we came from the same people? Listen, we all came from Adam. So the argument's still valid, isn't it? So here's the thing. Islam has biblical roots. Don't forget it. Don't neglect to study its biblical roots. Don't stop realizing that God has allowed these people to be here for a specific sovereign purpose. Now, what is that? I know a little bit because I know in part and I see in part. I know what I see before my very eyes. I can promise you they're here to wreak havoc upon the Jew. They're here to wreak havoc upon the Christian and anyone else who disagrees with their beliefs. Let me just tell you something. If someone is that fanatical, it's okay to label them radical. Here's what I hope. I hope one day at my funeral, y'all think that's a bad word. I hope one day at my funeral somebody says, this dude was a radical Christian. Wouldn't offend me. In fact, that would be the best thing that you could ever say about somebody because Lord knows we don't see enough radical Christians. People who say, not only do I believe what the Word of God says, I'll lay my life down for what the Word of God says. Now, here's the thing. Islam, biblical roots, don't forget it. But Islam stems from sin, doesn't it? Everybody go like this. Y'all believe Abram and Sarai sinned when he slept with their maidservant? Hey, let me help you out. Yes. So what happens is we know this. We know Abraham's seed stemmed from a covenant that God made with Abraham, right? We know the extension of that seed through Ishmael came through sin. Sin always brings what? Curse. Everybody go like this. So we can say this without having to feel bad about it. How many of you know the people of Abraham are people of promise? Even though they missed their Messiah, I promise you folks, they are going to have redemption. Read about it. We already talked about it a few weeks ago. I'm thankful that God gives us more than one opportunity, aren't you? So here's the thing. We see that Islam stems from sin. That's the problem with Islam. It stems from sin. We as Gentiles stem from sin too, don't we? That's the problem with those of us who are Gentiles. We're born dirty, rotten, immoral sinners. So up until this point, there's really not a whole lot of difference in between us and them, except for those of us who are Gentiles here today who've been born again in Jesus Christ are no longer sinners. We've been redeemed through the promises of God and through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We're going to see that's very important in our viewpoint of Islam in just a second, because it ought to be all of our hearts that they come to know Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. My hat is off to those people who risk their lives every day trying to reach these cursed people, just like somebody took their life to reach this cursed person. I'm thankful that there are people who are in those countries trying to reach these people with the gospel. Let me tell you, there are people converting to Christianity. You don't get to see that on CNN. There are people of the Islamic faith who are converting to Christianity, and that's good news because Jesus Christ is the answer for everyone, both the Jew, the Gentile, and thirdly, the Muslim. They stem from sin. We saw that as we read it. Sarah's sin, or Sarai's sin. She made a mistake. How many of you know sometimes we got to live with our mistakes a long, long time? I believe this. I believe Abraham and Sarah both received forgiveness from God. I can't document that, but I believe that they did. I believe that righteousness was accredited to Abraham by faith, and I believe the same for Sarah. But I also know this. I know this, that they chose to sin, and in choosing to sin, brought about consequences not only in their life, but because we saw the consequences in their life, their maid servant, they were at enmity between each other from then on. We're going to see, and if we keep reading in chapter 24 or 25, she just completely puts her out. Because Ishmael started making fun of Isaac at his birthday party. That's so you can understand it. So what happened is, here we have this relationship that stemmed from sin and a consequence, unfortunately, that will not go away. How many of you understand you have consequences to your sin? Anybody still carry around the marks and scars from their sin? Not until Jesus Christ returns to this earth will those things be resolved. Let me tell you what, not until Jesus Christ returns to this earth will the consequence of the Islamic faith be resolved. Don't look for an answer. Do you know the Jews go to the Western Wall every day and they pray for peace? They pray that God would bring peace to their people because of what Ishmael's lineage has done to them all these years. Do you realize they have to stand outside the wall of their Temple Mount as they watch Muslims go up into the Temple Mount and worship Allah? How frustrating is that? That would be like you sitting in your driveway, looking through your kitchen window, watching someone else eat supper at your table every day. And you can't go inside to say, get up out my seat. You know how you'd say it? Someone says, get up out my seat. Start leaving letters out when you get real upset. Islam stems from sin. Don't ever forget that. Number three, Islam has been blessed by God. Please don't forget that. Because Sarai mistreated Hagar, we never have grounds to mistreat people. You understand me? Everybody go like this. We never have grounds to mistreat people based on nothing. We have no right to mistreat anyone as believers. Everybody say, yes, sir, we get that. I don't care what color their skin is. I don't care what language they speak. I don't care what country they came from. Let me tell you this. I don't care if they illegally came here. You have no right to mistreat people. When you mistreat people, there are going to be consequences. Let me ask you this question. Do you think if you don't like a certain people group, but you know you can pay them half the price that you would pay someone else? Y'all listening to me? I'm just going to make it real. Y'all want to make it real? Do you think we as Americans are right? Because here's the thing. We let the Hispanic, Mexican people come over. They're from Mexico, so I'm assuming they're Mexican. Please, no Mexican descended people get upset. We let them come over here because we were doing a lot of construction. We could pay them half of what we'd have to pay a white man. And we could mistreat them because that's mistreating someone. Please pay attention. Don't get wrapped up in watching Fox News and be all wrong when you can be biblically right about things. And now, because they're taking over your country, you're upset about it. There's consequences to you abusing people, just like there was consequences to Sarai abusing Hagar. I have just preached the most politically correct message ever. Because you were lazy. You didn't want to work. And they would work for peanuts and let you mistreat them, boss. El jefe. You like being the man, having some cheap slaves. Mistreating people. You know what? They live 25 in a house. You pay them $7 an hour. Anyway. So we see Sarai mistreat Hagar. We see Abraham say it's okay. God says it's never okay to mistreat people. What happens? The angel of the Lord. Y'all don't forget this. Please don't miss this. Every time we always talk about the angel of the Lord, he appears to people. We say, that's the picture of an incarnate Christ. That's the picture of an incarnate Christ saying, I'm not going to let people be mistreated. You think this country doesn't have a reckoning coming for how they treated the Native Americans? You got another thing coming. Oh, we thought we'd slip by. Let me tell you something. God is going to judge the nations one day. Understand that. I don't care how mad you get at me. God's not going to let us slide because we're Americans and we fly the old red, white, and blue. There's no grounds for us to mistreat people. Because when we do, I'm going to write this down, your little side note. It is S-I-N, sin. Write it down. She began to mistreat her and there was consequences brought. Here's the consequences. Though she mistreated them, they were blessed. God said, I'm going to make you into a mighty people. You think they're not a mighty people? They won't go away. You say, but they're crazy, preacher. God said they were going to be crazy. You ever seen a donkey out of control? It's crazy. Y'all laugh. I've seen a donkey out of control. Me and some of my dumb friends one time tried to hem one up and ride it. Don't recommend it. They're blessed by God. Don't forget that. You say, well, how are they blessed by God? Let me tell you this. They control the one world currency right now. It's not the euro. Sure not the dollar. You know what every country needs more than anything else? Black gold, Texas tea, oil, that is. And in case you didn't know it, they kind of got the market cornered. So understand, God has blessed them. You look at their land, it looks like a bunch of sand. Oh, but underneath that sand is a bunch of gold. So understand, just as God is always faithful, He's been faithful to those people as well. Islam's been blessed by God. We've seen Islam has biblical roots. Islam stems from sin. Islam has been blessed by God. Islam is a big deal. Big deal. Fastest growing religion in the world. Has been for some time. Now, the way that they grow is probably not appropriate because when you have 18 wives and you have 5 kids with each wife, that's a lot of growth. Okay? That's what we as Christians in America know as homeschoolers. They just have one wife and have a bunch of kids and have a 15-passenger van. Right? Some of y'all are here with us. When we homeschooled our kids, I felt bad because I only had 2. I go back to the scripture, happy is a man or blessed is a man whose quiver is full. I said, man, I must shoot pretty good because I only needed 2 arrows. So as we look at this, understand, they are a big deal. Y'all need help, junior high section over here. They're a big deal. Fastest growing religion in the world. They are fulfilling God's promise that He made to Hagar. That's a big deal. Every time you see the Muslim increase, understand, that increase comes because God said it's going to come. Islam is a perverted religion. Understand that. I don't want to leave you without you knowing that. But Islam is based on the Quran. Let me help you out. You can read some of it. You'll have to have it translated in English for you. And you'll realize that this is contrary to Jehovah, who we see in the Old Testament, to Jesus Christ, who we see as the revelation of Jehovah in the form of man in the New Testament. Those two jive. They coincide. The Holy Spirit who lives in us coincides with them. We'll see that the Quran, when we really look at it, does not coincide with the characteristics of God. So if it does not coincide with the characteristics of the true God, it's not of God. Everybody go like this. And I don't care if you're in a mosque when you come to that conclusion, or if you're in a church where they're all wrapped up in charismatata. It's not confirmed in the Word of God, and it's not consistent with the Word of God. Understand this, it's not of God. So understand, it's been perverted. We know as we do a little research, there was a guy named Muhammad. How many of you know there was a guy named David Koresh who stood for Christianity? There was a guy named Jim Jones who claimed Christianity. There was a Muhammad who claimed to be a messenger from God. He began to receive messages about 610 A.D. And he received those messages for about 22 years of his life. Directly from God, without a mediator. I have a problem with that. Because there's got to be a mediator. Hello? No believers in the house? Aren't you glad you have a mediator? There's got to be a mediator between you and God. Understand that. That's why Jesus Christ came to this earth to die, so that the Holy Spirit could live in you, and the Holy Spirit could mediate between you and the Son and the Father. There is mediation that has to go on because He is holy and you are not yet made perfect. So here's the thing. A sinful Muhammad, you know how I know he was sinful? Because he was a man. You can read about a little history about him and you realize he was a sinful man. So a sinful man does not receive direct revelation from God without a mediator. That's why the angel of the Lord spoke in this instance. Did you know that was a mediator? Y'all listen to me. Don't freak out. You say, but I hear from God in my spirit. Yeah, you hear from God in your spirit because of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. And the only reason He lives inside of you is because Jesus Christ atoned for your sins so that He could. So anytime you have someone tell you, pay attention to this. God woke me up in the middle of the night and gave me this message to give to you, and you're supposed to buy me a Cadillac. Laugh in their face and go buy yourself a Cadillac if you have that money and God lets you do it. Understand. He received these things directly from God, he says, for 22 years. And we know this, that after he died, some of his followers gathered up all his writings and put them in a book called the Quran. And they believe that the Quran is the only inspired word of God. Now, I have a problem with that. Because I know what is the only inspired word of God, because this word of God proves consistency throughout the ages. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the Word of God will stand forever. And I promise you this, this Word will stand long after mankind ceases to be exactly what they are at this very moment. The Quran will pass away. All of the false teaching of the Quran and all the false religious rituals will pass away. And most of them, they copied from the Jew anyways. Did you know that? Most of them, they copied. Tried to do their own version of it. Nobody likes a copycat, do they? I don't. Maybe y'all are all just still mad about what I said about the Hispanic people. I'm telling you, America, don't think you're going to get away with the stuff that you're pulling right now. God is God. He always has been. He always will be. He hasn't changed for you or anyone else. But Islam has a purpose in spite of all these things. Islam has a purpose. Anybody in a hurry to go? It's going to take a minute. Good. Islam has a purpose. Number one, to fight against God's true people. To fight against God's true people. God's true people, understand this, are those coming from Isaac, both those natural born and those engrafted through Jesus. Those come from Abraham. Do you know this? We have the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as believers. We have not distorted that. We have not twisted that. That's why we take the Old Testament and we take it with a very, very valuable approach. And we say everything in here is applicable somehow to those of us who have been engrafted in. That's why when we take the Old Testament and we look at it in light of the New Testament, we see lives changed at this church. Let me tell you something. I preached through Joshua for about 6 months, and how many people did we see saved? Why? Because we were consistent with the truth that God wants to teach throughout the ages. So as we look at this, understand, Islam has a purpose, and their purpose is to fight against the true people of God, causing both of us, the Jew and the born-again believer, causing both of us to long for our Savior to deliver us. Understand that. Does everybody get that? Please understand that. The Islamic people are here to fight and to war against the Jew. Every day they get to the Western Wall, they pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They pray that one day they can walk up on that Temple Mount again, that what belongs to them will be theirs again. Let me say this to you. God's promises are true. One day that's going to happen. But it's going to come through Jesus Christ, I promise you. What's going to happen as we look at this, please understand, Islam has a purpose. Their purpose is to fight everything that is truly of God. Now, do they know that? No, they think they're fighting for God. That's what jihad is. Do you know that? It's a holy war. Our politicians won't say that. Everybody holding the ISIS flag will. So here's the thing. If they're saying they're declaring war on us, we really don't have to declare war back, dude. It's war. So understand, they have a purpose. Their purpose is to war and to be enemies of everyone and everyone's enemies, just like God said, causing both the Jew and the Gentile to long for God to bring peace. And peace only comes, watch this, when the Prince of Peace rides in on that white horse like we talked about a few weeks ago. And He brings true peace. They have a purpose to fight against God's true people, to withhold what belongs to God's people so that the God's people will long for restoration. Do you realize, I said this in a message I just alluded to, told you I wasn't going to stay there long. Do you realize the Temple Mount is being preserved by the enemies of God right now? He's preserving it. Because you know what would happen if the Jew had control of the Temple Mount? They'd build a temple and they would start all this stuff again, all the worship that Jesus Christ died to set them free from. He's holding them off until He returns. And when He returns, He will present Himself as the ultimate sacrifice for sin. No need for these repeated sacrifices that they're longing to do again. There'll be no need. In fact, there hasn't been a need for it. That's why the whole place was leveled in 70 AD. If you read any history books, you'll know that Titus went in and destroyed the place. So understand. God is using them to hold on to what belongs to God's people. Gentiles have controlled the Temple Mount since 70 AD, beginning with the Romans, who controlled it, all the way up until 1187 AD, when the Arabs began to control it. And they drove the Crusaders out of there. So understand, this 35-acre piece of land is a big deal to God. A few weeks ago, we talked about the new heaven and the new earth. We talked about the throne on this earth and the millennial reign. It's going to be on that 35 acres. Huh? Just read a little, folks. It's going to be right there. Jesus Christ's throne is going to sit right where that gold dome, the Dome of the Rock, the Muslim mosque that sits upon that piece of ground, Jesus Christ's throne will be there, exactly where the Ark of the Covenant once sat, exactly where sacrifice for sin has always been accepted. Islam has a purpose. Fight against God's people, to withhold what belongs to God's people, to send the world into terror. To send the world into terror so that people will look for a Savior. Y'all remember 9/11? You know what I loved about 9/11? Next day, church is full. People calling the church, can you unlock the door so we can come in and pray? Because the lost world has no hope, do they? Hello? Oh, when you were lost, you had no hope. You were afraid of everything. Listen, if you're a Christian, you're still afraid of everything. Stop living like a lost person. You had no hope. You were afraid. There's lots of people who have no hope. They see something like this happen. Man, they went into a nightclub. This guy goes in and kills all these people. You know what it's going to do? It's going to make people rethink, should I go in this nightclub? Maybe instead what I ought to do, I ought to get my family, bring them close. We ought to probably go to church this Sunday. Ask God for help because we need it. You think it's not happening? I believe this. Listen to me. Islam is going to cause Christians to hit their knees so that we can see a revival before the end. Oh, if you're doing what you're supposed to do. Yeah, what we're supposed to do when we see something that causes our flesh to fear, by faith, approach the throne of God and say, God, I don't put my faith in what I see, because that's not faith at all. I put my faith in the one who I can't see, and I know you are in complete control, and I rest in you. Lord, you bring about victory. Oh, we just sang songs about y'all. Oh, God. You believed it then? Do you believe it when it really counts? You believe it when terror is unleashed on your country. Oh, it's not God turning His back on you. It's because you've turned your back on God. And whom He loves, He disciplines and He chastens. You don't think that God more than anything desires that America get on their face and come back to Him? He saw it on 9/11. He saw it work for a minute, didn't He? Man, churches were full. But we got over it. Doesn't want us to get over it. Because I promise you, if it's Him, you're never going to get over Him. Oh, if it's just a knee-jerk reaction to something, you'll get over it in a few weeks. But I pray that through the terror that these people bring, it causes people to look for peace, because I know this, peace and hope can only be found in one name, and His name is Jesus Christ. And I pray that God use this opportunity to draw people who do not know Him. That maybe you're here in this room today and you came with a friend. You didn't know you were going to hear anything about Islam. You didn't really know anything about Jesus Christ. But I pray today that God would draw you unto Himself, that you would receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life and hope in Jesus Christ, because that's the only place you're going to find it. So we see Islam has biblical roots. Islam stems from sin. Islam has been blessed by God. Islam is a big deal. Don't forget it. Islam is a perverted religion, and Islam has a purpose. In fact, we named a few of them. Now let's look at this. Our response to Islam. Our response to Islam. Here we go. You writing it down? Write it down. Number one, be the light of Jesus Christ before the Muslim. Don't forget that. Don't forget that we are here as a light. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 16. You have a red letter edition. That means Jesus is talking. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before all good Christian and Jewish men that they may see. That's not what it says. Does it? In the same way, let your light shine before all white men who came to this country legally and went through the proper channels. No. In the same way, let your light shine before men. That means of all race, color, and creed. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We are to shine a light. We're to shine a light into those people who have been here. Maybe they came here to work. Maybe they came here as terrorists. The light of Jesus Christ is still our duty to shine. You say, well, how can I love a terrorist? You can't. But God, through you, can. Because I promise you this, God so loved the terrorist that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the illegal immigrant that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I know, I'm really messing you up, huh? be the light of Jesus Christ before men. Don't decide which men you're going to be the light to. That's doing exactly opposite of what James said. That's prejudice. James said, don't show favoritism to somebody because they're important. Treat everybody the way you want to be treated. Be the light of Jesus Christ before men. Number two, this is going to be tough. Love them. Love them. Matthew 5, still there. Let's go. Jesus continues to teach. Matthew chapter 5. Go to verse 43. The next few points we're going to read. Matthew chapter 5, in the 40s there. 43 tells us this. Everybody there? You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now when Jesus says, you have heard what is said, He's saying, you're wrong. Every time He uses that term, you have heard what's been said. He said, don't listen to what people have said because they're wrong. He says, you've heard that you're supposed to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Watch what He says. But I tell you, love your enemies. I'm going to stop there because we're going to get there in a second. So number one, love your enemy. Love them. Say, how can I do that? How could God love you? How many of you know you were once enemies of God? Separated because of sin. Enmity between you and God. And God has a special kind of love. And you know what's really special about that kind of love? God put that love inside this unspecial kind of guy when He saved me through Jesus Christ. The love of Christ lives inside of me through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have in me the love of God which is in Christ Jesus that I can offer to other people. Now, in order to do that, I got to die to my flesh. In order to do that, I got to die to my flesh and say, I'm going to love people, pay attention, in spite of people. I don't know about you, but how many of you are thankful that God loved you in spite of you? Yeah, but you're asking us to love a Muslim like that? No, I'm not asking you anything. I'm just telling you what Jesus told you to do. He ain't asking here. But I'm a follower of Christ. Well, listen to what He says if you're really a follower of Christ, because you know what? There's a big difference in a churchgoer and a follower of Jesus. The follower of Jesus is going to be radical. You say, well, Kirk, you mean to tell me that if somebody blew your family up with a car bomb, you could love them? Absolutely not. I'm going to be honest with you. I'd want to kill them. I'd want to actually rip their throat out with my bare hands. But am I right for that? Absolutely, positively not. You know what I pray? I pray in that moment that if I had the opportunity to share the gospel with that person, I'd put all my personal feelings aside and I would walk up and I would put my arm around them and I would display Jesus Christ to them in a way that that person could never even imagine Jesus Christ could be displayed. You say, well, you can't do that on your own. Absolutely not. I would have to reach for strength from God like I never have before. But that's just really where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? Jesus never said it's going to be easy to follow Him. In fact, He said it's going to be the most difficult thing you've ever done. Your own family is going to hate you. People are going to disown you. You're going to be a radical fanatic. That's a follower of Christ versus a churchgoer. Churchgoer, he just pretends like he has all his stuff in order so that other people will be impressed. Follower of Christ really doesn't care what other people think. He wants to be obedient to Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ died so that I could be obedient to the commands of God. Like this. He didn't die so I could have cheap grace and live any way I want to live. He died to implant the Holy Spirit in me who teaches me the Word of God and gives me the power to live out the Word of God. Love them. When we keep on reading, He says, love your enemies and do what? Pray for them. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of griping about my enemies instead of praying for them. Confession is the beginning of restoration. I confess that to my Father in heaven, not to you. I owe you nothing. I confess to my Father in heaven, I've griped about things I shouldn't gripe about that I ought to get on my face and pray about. People that annoy me that I ought to pray for instead of be annoyed because of. Pray for them. He says, you've heard. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemy. He doesn't just stop there. Pray for him. You know why he says that? is when we pray for people, we begin to love them. When we really pray for people, we begin to love them. You love people whose names you don't even know who are in this box because you come and you grab a card out of here and you pray and you weep that that person would come to know Christ. You began to love them. I promise you, this is a box full of unlovable people. Because they're just like me and they're just like you. But yet through your prayers, God gives you strength to love. He says, as for your enemies, you love them and you pray for them. Then let me say this so that you're not foolish. I'm going to use a military police term, watch your six. Watch your six. God never tells us to be foolish in what we do. How many of you understand that? In fact, God, Jesus Himself taught a principle. If you would have known when the thief was coming to your house, you'd be ready. He didn't discount that fact, did He? People, understand there are wolves at our doors that we're to love and we're to pray for. But watch your six. Don't trust a Muslim. You're going to tell us to love them. You're going to tell us to pray for them. And then you're going to say, don't trust them. God said, don't trust them. They're enemies to everyone, and everyone's an enemy. They're a wild donkey. I'm going to tell you right now, if they are a good Muslim, they're not peaceful, and they don't care about you. They don't care about your family. Any person who takes a soft target and goes in and kills a bunch of people is a crazy person. They are getting orders from other crazy people. I'm going to mess you up. Even demon-possessed leaders that the enemy is using to cause fear in even the people of God. Please understand that. So watch your six. Know what's going on. Don't become a victim to their craziness. You can pray for someone, you can love someone, and still not become a victim to them, right? Right? I mean, Charles Manson, love him, pray for him. Don't go hang out a party with him. Hello? So understand. Be aware of the situation that we're in. Do you trust Satan? He's a liar. Why would you trust a people group that is from a perverted religion of lies? You shouldn't, because that comes from the evil one. Understand that. Don't trust them. Don't trust what they say when they tell you that they're peaceful. Understand this. A lot of times that's just so they can get in there with a bomb. You can put it on the website. I don't care. Truth is the truth is the truth. I thought about it the other night when we were at the Trump rally in full tactical gear. ISIS doesn't hit spots like this. What we need to do if we want to stop ISIS is pretend like we're daycare leaders taking a group of students on a field trip. Did you know over in Israel their buses are about 3/4-inch plate armor? You know why? Here's the reason, because when Hamas hits them, they go for their kids. They go for their kids, their women, and their children. They go for those who are helpless and hopeless. Here's what I'm telling you. Don't be helpless and hopeless. I'm going to say it from the pulpit. Those of you who are offended by it, exit signs are green. One here, one here, one here. You can go out this door. There's two that go out the back. You live in a country that allows you to carry a weapon to protect you and your family. Do it if you can legally. I'm not here to promote carrying your gun. I'm here to promote Jesus Christ. But I promise you this. The apostles in Jesus' day, they carried swords. You know why they carried swords? Not to go on the offensive and be terrorists. They carried swords because there were terrorists and they had to be on the defensive sometimes. Even when Peter drew his sword, Jesus said, Peter, he didn't say, get rid of your sword, Peter. Put it away. It's not the time for you to use this. You don't use this sword on the offensive to cut someone's ear off. Here, let me fix their ear. Y'all remember the story? Sorry about, can you imagine that situation? Sorry about Peter. He's a little quick with the sword. Let me put that back on for you. Y'all don't laugh enough about Jesus, but how cool would that be if you saw that? Don't be afraid. Listen, with all the political rhetoric stuff, don't be afraid to say, I don't mind defending my home and my family. And I promise you this, I'm going to defend this church because this is one of the places they like to go to. And they're going, hey, it's coming to a theater near you. Shame on them if they come here. Thinking, we're going to hit a soft target, right? We unleash the wrath of God. Listen. Let me just say this to each of you. If I have my gun out, put yours away. If someone here who's a police officer gets theirs out, put yours away. Okay, we don't want to get shot by our friends. Okay? We laugh, but let me tell you something. It's serious. These people are cowards. They're cowards. They hit weak targets. So watch your six. Be prepared. Don't ignore their hatred. They hate you. Any of you who've ever been over a Middle Eastern country, you know the look. They look at you with those eyes and they want you to die. They do. They hate you. They hate everything you have. They hate everything that you stand for. They hate the God that you serve. They hate you. Now, that doesn't give you an excuse to hate back. That's what Christianity, why Christianity is different from all of these false religions. We love them in spite of the fact that they have chosen to be our enemies. But don't ignore their hatred. Don't become a victim to their hatred. Defend your home. Defend your churches. Don't allow others to be victimized. You see a guy going into a soft target and you got a way to stop him. Hey, the law says you can. Do it. Just make sure he doesn't have a badge around his neck with a chain on it. Then you'll be in big trouble. See their purpose. I'm done with this, I promise. She thought that was funny. Praise the Lord, he's done. See their purpose and realize that through them, World War III has begun and it has to take place. It has to take place. They've declared war on everyone who opposes their religion. Let me tell you this, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I oppose their religion. They have declared war on me. I will not for any reason ever convert to Islam. Chop my head off, put it in a sack, whatever the case may be. They are cutting off heads. If you didn't know that, you see that in Scripture. Realize they do have a purpose, and their purpose is to wreak havoc so that we'll long for Jesus to return. So that we'll long for Him to deliver us from a crazy group of people who hit weak targets and blow up women and children and cut the heads off of people just because they're Christians. That should make you long for Jesus Christ. If you don't long for Jesus Christ and looking at those instances, you might not know Jesus Christ and you might be in fear of the return of Christ. Let me tell you this, Jesus Christ is going to call His church home soon. When will that be? I can't tell you. No one knows. But I can tell you this, that we are one step closer today than we were yesterday. With these people stepping up, it seems on every occasion, it seems that we are nearer and nearer and nearer as the days go by. Because I promise you this, if I'm right, and I'll tell you this right now, I am. I can't say that about everything, but I can say that about this. If I am right and World War III has begun, it won't be long before the church goes home. It won't be long before we are raptured out of this world into the presence of Jesus Christ, changed the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, forever. And I say this to you who may be sitting here today bored out of your mind because you came in here and you really didn't care about Islam. All you wanted to do was just have free love and live as an American. I pray that you see it's bigger than that. I pray that today you see that one day the trumpet call of God is going to sound. He's going to call His church out of this world. And if you are not part of that church when that happens, you will be left here to face terror like you have never seen terror before. That's a scare tactic. It's not a scare tactic. It's biblical truth. Jesus said it will be worse than this world has ever seen. A guy going into shooting up a weak target in a nightclub will be nothing compared to what we're going to see. Or what those who are left here are going to see. If I see it, I'm going to see it from the presence of the Lord, I assure you. in His safety and in His security. So let me be the doomsday proclaimer. Then I'll close. You can gripe about the shape our country's in. You can gripe about the shape our world in. Let me help you out. It's going to get worse way before it's going to get better. It's going to get worse way before it gets better, because I promise you this. From the day I'm raptured up and I meet Jesus in the air, from that day, the next 7 years are going to be crazy. The next 7 years are going to be crazy. Oh yeah, it's going to seem peaceful for half, just like Scripture says. But that second half, I don't wish that any of my enemies are going to be around for that. I pray for them. I pray that God would deliver them through Jesus Christ, set them free, so that at the day the trumpet sounds, they'll join with us in the air. It's going to go from bad to worse, and I'll say this to each of you, and I'm done. You better get ready. You better get ready. I can say this. I've been preaching for 19 years. Never in my life has God been putting puzzle pieces to all this stuff together like He's putting them together for me right now to teach you, so that you won't be ignorant when it happens. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, and God would by His Spirit draw you out of darkness and into light, I say this to you, surrender to Him right now before it's too late. He's calling you to receive His forgiveness, calling you to receive His payment for sin. Hear His call and respond in surrender. Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? You're here today, every head bowed and every eye closed, and you say, Kurt, Jesus was to call His people home today, I wouldn't go, because I'm not one of His people. I've rebelled against Him. I've sinned against Him. I've lived my life for me up until this point. But right now, I feel God giving me another chance, calling me to surrender my life and cry out to forgiveness that only comes through Jesus Christ. I desire to surrender my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ today, to repent of my sin and to turn to Him as my Savior. Would you slip up your hand if that's you? You say, that's me. I need Jesus to save me today. That's me. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Hold it up for me. I need Jesus to save me today. I know that He's calling me out of the darkness of sin into the truth and the light that gave Himself for me. I need Jesus to save me today. Would you slip up your hand as the music begins to play? You say, that's me, Pastor. I need Jesus to save me. Anyone here? Says, that's me. Young lady in the back, you raised your hand. Won't you look at me eye to eye? You believe God's calling you out of darkness, out of sin, into a relationship with Jesus Christ today. You willing to confess your sin and repent of your sin and turn to Jesus as the only hope that you have to be saved? Sir, look at me right now. You got your hand up. You believe the same? Jesus died for you. Believe that He rose again, set you free, and give you new life. Listen, the Bible says this. The Bible says we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, and we shall be saved. Are you too who raised your hand, are you willing right now in the midst of all these people to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord? When we confess with our mouth, that's simply praying, saying, Jesus, I acknowledge what You're doing in my life right now. I acknowledge You as my Savior. I acknowledge You as the forgiveness that I'm receiving right now. If you wish to do that, I want you to pray this prayer with me, and I want you to understand something. Prayers don't save me. All you're doing by saying this prayer is saying out loud and acknowledging what God is doing inside of you. Pray this with me out loud. Church, join with us. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that without You, I have no hope. Lord Jesus, I need You to save me, to forgive me of my sin. I confess to You that I am a sinner. And I turn from that sin. And I turn to You. And I ask You to wash me, to forgive me. Lord Jesus, I ask for a new life. A life that lives for You. Fill me with Your Spirit. Teach me to live this life. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for dying. you pray that prayer to receive Jesus Christ while everyone else is praying, I want you to slip out of your seat right now and just go to the closest exit on the aisle that you can. There's some people here who are going to take the Word of God. They're going to talk to you. He says, is it important that I do that? I'm kind of embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. God teaches us to humble ourselves before men. In fact, He says, if you won't acknowledge me before men, I won't acknowledge you before my Heavenly Father. Let me tell you this. If you meant business with God today, there will be no shame in humbling yourself and saying, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. All you're doing is coming up here to talk to these people. They don't save you. They take the Word of God and say, here's what Jesus just did in your life. This is what this means. This is what's going to happen next. So as you would, be obedient. Slip out of your seat right now. Say, I prayed to receive Christ. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Maybe you're here today. You know someone standing next to you and they need out. Let them out. Say, Pastor, I'm a believer. I know that. But I don't want to be found in what I'm in right now when Jesus returns. Let me tell you this. Repent, confess, and get up and allow God through the Holy Spirit to give you strength to walk away from whatever it is that's hindering you. Whatever the case is, allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life. If you prayed to receive Christ, don't hesitate to humble yourself before God and all these people.